top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Thursday, March 14th, in the headlines. Dr. Irvin Andre remembers young Dominicans from Granby marching through the streets of Roseau with late Prime Minister Rosie Douglas after Dominica's official independence legislation was passed. Q95. Antigua and Barbuda Minister of State within the Ministry of Health and Wellness, Senator Samantha Marshall, expresses concerns over the lack of urgency in addressing violence against women and girls. And an International Energy Agency report finds that despite the pledges from the oil and gas industry to address infrastructure leaks, methane emissions from the energy sector remained near record highs in 2023.
Right on.
Details coming up next.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
In a Global View on Q discussion commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Granby Geneva Uprising on Tuesday evening, Dr. Irvin Andre fondly recalled the late Emmanuel Loblack, a resident of Granby, who ardently championed the community's cause. Dr. Andre highlighted Loblack's struggles against a colonial government, largely unsympathetic to Granby's plight, noting the year when residents rebelled against implemented policies.
I can indicate, and you made mention of Mr. Loblack. He took up the cause of Granbyans. He'd been from Granby, quite frankly. The colonial government was not very sympathetic to him. And even after Nassif initiated that policy of trying to recover the lands, in the early 1850s, Granbyans revolted and protested against the diminution of their way of life, of the ability to preside for themselves and their family. And that remained a simmering sore, a simmering problem medically and politically and socially in the Granbyan community until the 1970s. We all know what happened in the 70s. We all know the rising political ferment. We all know about the espousal of social democratic ideas. We all know about the movement for New Dominica. We all know about the formation of popular independence committees by Rosie Douglas and also by Bernard Wiltshire.
Dr. Andre commended the People's Independence Committee, PIC, for its vital role in securing Dominica's independence, emphasizing the collective efforts of numerous individuals. He recounted how late Prime Minister Rosie led young Granby residents in a march through the streets of Roseau after the independence legislation was passed, marking a significant milestone in Dominica's history.
We know of the role of the PIC in the achievement of political independence. We know that when the House of Assembly passed the legislation with respect to independence, Rosie summoned a whole slew of young Granbyans who had been nursed in the bosom of radicalism in the 70s, who marched on to Roseau, thereby making the attainment of political independence a fait accompli. But we also know that before the attainment of political independence in 1974, we know of what happened on or about in February of 1974, when there was a slew of criminal acts, quite frankly, and there was the death of one or two visitors from the United States, a Canadian couple brutalized and so on. And the Granbyan people led by a local Granbyan, the most popular, the name we most fully recognize is the one called UNICEF, but they were all the Granbyans who were very much sensitized by the systemic or endemic poverty, by the deprivation of land, by the unfairness of Granbyans not being able to have a decent living while you have a big estate, like a giant snake strangling the very innards of that community.
And that was Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Environment, Rural Modernization and Kalinago Upliftment Minister Kozia Frederick emphasized the importance of children conveying a serious environmental message to authorities. He underscored that while children are committed to protecting the environment, they require support to pursue this cause effectively. Addressing corporate partners, he highlighted their participation in the initiative as a significant investment in children's well-being.
And this is a serious message. You have to bring a serious message across to your community leaders, and a serious message you have to bring across to people in authority, people in leadership like myself, to remind us that we're more than willing to play a part. And so you need the encouragement. And I'm really happy that we have corporate partners here who understand this. And for the corporate partners over there, it's not just about making money. It's not just about selling a service, but they want to give back. In a nutshell, they have a corporate responsibility to give back to your country. And the sponsors who are here, it's a good investment in children. Children is a good investment. We're speaking about the new generation of lawyers, doctors, engineers, ministers, broadcasters. All of those people, the young folks here, are the people who will make our country continue to be better.
Mr. Frederick informed students that their participation in the Zero Waste Project contributes to environmental protection and assists in cost savings that can be redirected towards waste management efforts.
When we do this, students, when we do what we do today doing the Zero Waste Project at our school, in separating garbage from the source, from your homes as well, you're really helping us to protect. You're also protecting us, helping us to save some money as well, because a number of the practices that we have, they cost a lot of money, and so you will help us to reduce the cost of managing a landfill, for instance. And so when you go to the landfill in the Fokoli area, you'll see it's a big operation to manage garbage from across the country, and if you do it at the school level, you will be able to save us some money. And what is also important, we just came out of the COVID-19 pandemic a few years ago. And when we keep our environment clean, we will ensure that we'll have a healthy space for us to survive. And there's a big move these days when you speak about climate change and what we are going to do to, big word again, mitigate against climate change, but to help prevent climate change.
Minister for the Environment, Kozia Frederick. In a significant step forward for the ongoing electricity tariff rate review for Dominica Electricity Services Limited, the Independent Regulatory Commission, IRC, held its inaugural in-person public consultation on Thursday, February 22, 2024, at the Goodwill Parish Hall. The consultation primarily focused on Domlec's depreciation study conducted by U.S.-based Alliance Consulting Group. The study evaluated the reduced value and remaining lifespan of the company's fixed assets, aiming to update depreciation rates for Domlec's fixed assets as part of the upcoming tariff. Dr. Dave Watson, managing partner of the Alliance Consulting Group, highlighted that after assessing Domlec's operations, it was determined that the lifespan of its assets would be longer than initially anticipated. Consequently, Watson explained this would lead to a reduction in the annual depreciation expense by approximately $7 million. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95de.com. Washburn Coffey, the public relations officer of the Electoral Reform Coalition, highlights concerns over the DLP government's handling of electoral reform in Dominica. He observed a pattern of missed deadlines in delivering comprehensive electoral reforms promised to the Dominican people. Coffey emphasized the critical role of electoral reform in protecting the country's democracy and urged the government to prioritize this issue.
What we see happening in terms of on the ground, in terms of the government position and status on electoral reform, is that every time that they give their own deadlines,
They seem to be callously missing it. We were told that electoral reform most likely would be with us around the first quarter of this year. But in terms of recent utterances that I have been aware of, we are here in talk about maybe around budget time or before budget. So I think this is a very callous approach. The important factor here, I think, is that the government need to recognize that the implementation of any project or activity, timelines and timing, is a very critical factor. If you plan a project to be done in 6 months and you deliver it in 3 years, 10 years, I mean, where is the effectiveness? Where is the efficiency? And by that time, costs may go up. Mm-hmm. And since we are dealing with a matter that is a national matter, so very sensitive, people are coming to the point of almost frustration. Because every time we believe we are coming to a point of contention, a point of agreement, then the goalposts are being moved, you know, and this may draw the citizenry to frustration. And when people are frustrated, anything could happen.
Coffey emphasized the significance of educating and raising awareness among the Dominican population. He stressed that informed decision-making is crucial as regards the current electoral process challenges facing the country.
This is where we are, and we are bringing this education to the people. The education process, the sensitization, building awareness, we believe is very important, because if people are informed, then we believe that will enable them to take the proper decision in relation to dealing with those with the particular problem that exists. And I just want to underline that we are talking about electoral reform, and we must not see it as an abstract thing, because it is very critical to free and fair elections, to our rule of law, governance, our democratic process. So this is not a thing we can just deal with on a childish basis, as we are indicating on our release. The time for these childish games is really undermining our rights as a people, and it's time for it to stop.
Washburn Coffey, Public Relations Officer of the Electoral Reform Coalition. On Wednesday, the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation has officially launched a Zero Waste Adopt a School program as part of the Recycle OECS project on Dominica. The initiative involves 47 school environmental and 4-H clubs and 39 businesses collaborating to promote recycling among students and businesses. Public Relations Officer of the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation, Rhoda St. John, explains that Dominica was chosen to participate in the project due to being the sole Caribbean island with a curbing site mechanism in place, further serving as a model for the project for the rest of the Caribbean region.
The Recycle OECS demonstration project is one that started up last year. It was launched in Dominica in June, where Dominica and Grenada are the only islands selected to run the Recycle OECS demonstration project. At the end of 2024, whatever it is that we model in relation to the project, the rest of the Caribbean islands have to follow. Dominica. One of the reasons that Dominica was selected to be the demonstration project, we are the only Caribbean island that actually has a curbside collection system. And what that means is that Dominica is then the only to spearhead and to be the pilot and model for the rest of the Caribbean islands. And to that, we ought to say thank you. There are a number of initiatives that will come out of this project. One is the reason why you're here today. The Zero Waste Adopt Environmental Clubs and 4-H Clubs within the primary and secondary schools, where we are able to come in and teach you on recycling. What do you recycle? How do you recycle? When do you recycling involves your plastic bottles, glass bottles, tin cans, and even composting. And because of composting, we go a step further. Where we will. So the recycling program is, this is what encompasses our recycling program.
St. John added that beyond school premises, the Zero Waste Adopt a School initiative will collaborate with stakeholders to eradicate industrial plastic from the island's waters. She urged individuals to refrain from littering the environment with garbage.
Outside of the school, the Zero Waste Adopt a School initiative, we will be working with just pure plastics in our open waters. And that means whenever we buy our and you see it out into the environment, we need to learn to stop throw our garbage and our waste in the environment. And that is one of the reasons why the project. I want to say thank you to each and everyone, the schools that are here, the businesses that has come on board. Solid Waste cannot do it alone. It is too much for us to do alone. So we got our partners involved, and the businesses have come on board and adopted your clubs so that we can work with you. Some of the initiatives that we'll be doing under the project is when we come into your schools and we teach you, we'll be doing the Cleaner Mile program. From the Cleaner Mile program, we'll be doing the debris tracking app training. We're going to work with the schools. There'll be competitions, the Knowledge Bowl on environment. And we want to go a step further where the students can now collect the plastic bottle. We'll pick up those recyclables from your school. When we pick up the recyclables from your school, we will be counting every bag that's collected from your school. And an incentive, the school that has the most bottles in any given month, we will give you tokens for collecting these plastic bottles. Anything and everything to get the plastic out of the environment, we're going to come up with solutions. And these are just some of the solutions that we're coming up with to be able to get our recyclables under control in the society.
Public Relations Officer of the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation, Rhoda St. John. In other news, Antigua and Barbuda, Minister of State in the Ministry of Health, Wellness, Social Transformation and the Environment, Senator Samantha Marshall expressed deep concern regarding the ongoing issue of violence against women and girls and the lack of urgency in addressing the issue. Minister Marshall conveyed her concerns during a significant gathering held on Tuesday morning, along with the 68th session of the Commission on the Status of Women at the United Nations in New York. She highlighted the critical juncture of the world faces in its quest for gender equality and women's rights protection. Addressing the legal framework established by the United Nations to advance and protect these rights, Minister Marshall pointed out the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women and its optional protocol known as the International Bill of Rights of Women. Despite this significant milestone, Minister Marshall emphasized the urgent need to address a glaring gap in the system. She drew attention to the alarming global statistics, citing an estimated 736 million women, equivalent to one in three, having experienced physical or sexual violence from intimate partners or non-partners. And methane emissions from the energy sector remained close to record highs in 2023, despite efforts to address leaking infrastructure, according to a report by the International Energy Agency on Wednesday. These emissions stemming from activities like oil and natural gas production, agriculture, and landfills are potent greenhouse gases, contributing significantly to global temperature rise since the Industrial Revolution.
Methane emissions from the energy sector remained near a record high in 2023. That's according to a report by the International Energy Agency published on Wednesday. The potent greenhouse gas is responsible for roughly a third of the rise in global temperatures since the Industrial Revolution. Christoph McGlade is the agency's head of energy supply.
One of the key things that we found was that last year, in 2023, we saw an increase in the level of methane emissions coming from fossil fuels. It's very bad news for climate change.
The IEA says production and use of fossil fuels put more than 120 million metric tons of methane into the atmosphere last year, a slight rise over 2022. Large methane plumes from leaky fossil fuel infrastructure jumped by 50% in 2023 compared with 2022. At last year's United Nations Climate Summit in Dubai, nearly 200 countries agreed to rapidly and substantially cut methane emissions.
Our methane emissions.
Dozens of oil companies have also voluntarily committed to reduce emissions. But countries and companies are still significantly underreporting the extent of their oil and gas methane emissions compared with the IEA's latest estimate. The IEA says new satellites could help close that gap.
Two big things that we hope to see in 2024 is, first of all, is more transparency. New satellites going up into orbit are looking specifically at methane emissions. The other thing is that we will start to see these pledges, we will start to see these policies coming through. And that means that 2024 should mark a turning point in our action, in our efforts to reduce methane emissions going forward.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Dr. Irvin Andre remembers young Dominicans from Granby marching through the streets of Roseau with lead Prime Minister Rosie Douglas after Dominica's official independence legislation was passed. Antigua and Barbuda Minister of State within the Ministry of Health and Wellness, Senator Samantha Marshall, expresses concern over the lack of urgency in addressing violence against women and girls. And an International Energy Agency report finds that despite the pledges from the oil and gas industry to address infrastructure leaks, regional methane emissions from the energy sector remained near record highs in 2023. 5DA.com. I've been your presenter, Felix Valmond.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local.